you pasted in the previous show's task some sort of a checklist with some notes. Wasn't sure what that means actually. You had like third wave visa follow up, WWDC plan, fitness follow up, basketball warriors.
Yeah.
Basketball?
Yeah, I wanted to have a basketball corner for a second.
Okay, but at the end.
You are allowed to have your corner. Let me have mine. Let me have my corner, please.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah, if you have to. Well, thanks for your input, Mike, but no.
Exactly.
So I wanted to talk some more about the ideas I got out of deep work. Like I said, there's so much out of it that this will be a recurrent theme, I think. But just this one thing I've been thinking about a lot lately. I've been thinking about the nature of zero-sum games and how I spend my time, where I put my effort, right? And how I should approach this, how what's worth doing, what's not worth doing, right? This isn't a super new idea, but I've been thinking about it a lot, and I think it's important enough and changed my thinking enough that it deserved an episode of its own.
All right.
So this ties back to so many discussions we've had on this show over the last weeks, months. It ties back to a lot of books we've read and briefly discussed on this show, like Essentialism, which I think triggered a lot of our thinking about this. Then there was The One Thing, then Deep Work, a few other titles as well. And so the idea, I already said this, but it's so important. It's worth repeating over and over, which is that, look, we have limited amount of time and effort and attention to spend. Okay, we only have 24 hours in a day. Hopefully, a good chunk of that will be dedicated to sleep, no matter what, right? And then some of that goes to work, and if you work full-time, then you have a 40-hour budget to spend, and you have to figure out how to do that. And then you have not that much more than a third of all your time for everything else. For your side projects, for blogging, for writing, for reading, for breakfast, for shower, for friends, for family, for everything else. And it's not that much to work with, really. Right? It's this is an environment of scarcity. Now this is interesting because I didn't tend to think of scarcity and zero-sum games a lot, because in a lot of what we do, we live in a very different environment. We talked a lot in many previous episodes about how great our industry is, the environment in which we, Nosby, make our software, right? Because we don't live in an industry that's a zero-sum game, right? Most people don't use an app like Nosby. Most people don't use such a thing at all. Most people communicate via email or face-to-face or via post-it notes. That's how they organize themselves, right? So
yeah.
We don't think about our competition a lot because it just doesn't matter. It's not a zero-sum game. For us to win, Basecamp or Todoist doesn't have to lose, right? Perhaps quite the contrary. As they win, more people are aware that they need a tool like that, and we can get some of that pie and grow that pie too, right?
Yep.
But this is different, right? Our time and attention are scarce. They're limited, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you'd be a bazillionaire if you figured out a way to increase your day from 24 hours to 25 hours. It just, like, if it was possible, man, that would be so valuable, but it's not, right? So you have to work with that. And that's, it's worth to think about it, because this frame changes a lot how you should think about it. You know, in a game that's not zero sum, you don't have to worry about your competition. You can do a lot of things, try a lot of things. Some of them will have some impact, more impact, less impact, but you can do a lot of things, increase the pie, you're happy, right? But here, it's a zero-sum game. If you do X, if you spend 4 hours of your day doing X, you're not able to do Y. Everything you do, everything you could be doing, are your competitors, right? And they can't all win because there's always more you could be doing than you can actually do. And under the regime of a zero-sum game, it never makes sense to focus on things that provide merely some value, some benefit. It always makes sense to only focus on the things that provide the most benefit, that have the most value. It doesn't make sense to do things, spend time on things that are nice, that are cool, if you could instead be doing something that has much more impact and you'd get much more bang for your buck, right?
Yeah, I mean, I used to dream about this, magic way of stopping time. If I could stop the time, do something there, and then, press the pause button, essentially, and then do something, and then play again. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I mean, everybody's had that dream, I think. and it's a dream, it's not possible. And for me, what struck me the most when I was reading the book Essentialism was the definition of non-essentialist by Greg McKeown. And his definition of non-essentialist is the guy who's pretending there are no trade-offs. And that was me. He was describing me. And I was like, whoa, he's insulting me right now, right? I mean, but he's right. When I wasn't well organized, when I didn't have put things, when I was promising too many things to too many people, I was pretending that there are no trade-offs, that I can do both three times, and we discussed this on the show. The only time when you can do two things at once and it makes sense is when you run and listen to an audiobook or our podcast. That's the only time where you can do two things at once.
Yes.
That's the only option. Other than that, you're usually doing one thing at a time if you want to do it right. And because, this is the magic, of running and listening to audio content, that you can do both pretty well. Of course, if you want to compete, on the championship level, not. But if you want to just, go on a jog, nice. But the rest of the situations, you can't. You can only do one thing at once. So there are trade-offs all the time. We make trade-offs all the time. And what you're just saying is something, as you said, we should be repeating to ourselves over and over and over again. Like, my priority list right now is a disaster because I've been on my holiday. I was in my hometown. I was on a conference right now, just between all this, an important issue came up in our company that I had to attend to, and it just jumped right to my first priority. Just right there. And then I see my list and all the things I promised to these people that I'm going to just respond about this. I'm going to be responsive about that. And I didn't do it because there was this, high priority thing about my company that I had to, attend ASAP. So what happened was that really it was a pipe dream. It was like, I cannot realistically do this priority list right now. Mm-hmm. I will have to make trade-offs and decide what I should decline to decline, what I should refuse to do, or what I should delegate right away, because I just took too much stuff on myself. Thinking there are no trade-offs.
Right, exactly. So I love this phrase from Essentialism. Don't pretend that there are no trade-offs. There are always trade-offs. It's always a zero-sum game for your time, for your attention. Right. And it's so we know this. We're not stupid. We know that there's only 24 hours in a day, but it doesn't matter. Right. It's a thing we might intellectually be able to realize and yet not internalize, that this is actually a a thing that has to provide structure to our decision making, that there are always trade-offs, that we cannot pretend that there are no trade-offs, right? And so this is, I just found it such a powerful thought. And the more I think about it, the more it just, I realize how many bad decisions I've made, right? Like how, like, yeah, that was cool, but I could be doing this other thing, which would not be just cool, which would be awesome, but I didn't do it, right? And it's applicable in all aspects of life, right? It doesn't matter what are you thinking of. If you're thinking of work or side projects or personal life, it doesn't matter. There's always like some amount of time and attention you can spend on it, and you can make choices and choose better or worse, right? So as I've been thinking about it, I've been making changes more and more to, again, all aspects of my life based on that truth, that assumption that it's a zero-sum game competing over my time and attention.
Yeah, and we can take it even to the, to the higher level. You know, if you think about it, you know, the choices we make for our jobs, for things we buy, you know, like this, like a very simple thing. Like just the other day, I was having this discussion with my friends about clothes. Again, getting minimalism. Why waste time wearing shitty clothes? I mean, you know, get yourself good clothes that you like and wear them all the time, you know? Like instead of having a wardrobe, you know, with tens of thousands of, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, hundreds of, you know, things, you know, have less of them, but have the ones that you know, whatever you choose, you're going to love it. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be fun. You know, why waste time wearing something which is crap, you know? Like these kind of things. And the same goes with jobs and everything. Like people still, when they ask me for some advice about their careers, like I'm not really, you know, good with that because, you know, but again, I made a choice. I made the choice, you know, early in my career to start the company, and I made a choice to start Nosby. You made a choice to join us, you know, and work with us. You know, we made these choices and based on, you know, how we would like to spend our time, you know, and for like at this moment. And lots of people make bad decisions about it. They go with the first job that comes around, you know, and they don't really.
Well, funnily enough, this was the first job that came around, but I guess I was lucky.
You were lucky, man. But you know, I'm biased. But the thing is that lots of people just, you know, go with the first thing that comes around without actually thinking too much about it. Actually, you know, you asked for the job because you emailed me first. So, but the thing is that, you know.
No. You asked me for my help.
Yeah, but you emailed first. Anyway, but I offered you the job. You're right. So
that's true.
So the thing is, that people do that. People just settle on something because it was first, because it was the closest thing, but it was you know, it has the least barrier of entry because it was in their mm-hmm. comfort zone, and they decided, you know, it's not the best. I really don't love it. I don't like I don't know how it's done, or I don't like the money, or I don't know, whatever. But, you know, it's here, you know, it's good, fine. And right. We shouldn't be thinking like this because, again, time is ticking away. And if it's ticking away, maybe we should really make sure that we use the time wisely, and we use it for as you said, for awesomeness. You know, if you're not doing something awesome, you're doing it wrong.
Right. And so, like, as you're saying, all aspects of life and all kind of levels of abstraction, you can, you know, use this lens to look at the most high level macro decisions of your life and the smallest micro decisions of your life. But the kind of smaller decisions, like for me, so for example, after we read Essentialism, that was many months ago, but as we discussed, well, we never truly discussed the aftermath, but we discussed in episode 3 about this our project we've had, and we've run for quite a long time.
Yep.
It was called Remag. We had this idea to make this magazine apps, and we thought it was cool. It was a tool we kind of needed ourselves. So let's make a side business at Nosby, do this other thing. It'll be great, right? But it wasn't working out, right? And there's a good chance we could make it work out. Maybe, I don't know. But we just realized that even though if we can make it work, it doesn't matter. It's not the one thing we want to be doing. Like, even if this works out and starts to be profitable, there's still the opportunity cost that instead of doing that and spending time and money and attention on that, we could just double down and reinvest in Nozbe, and that the tool that we and hundreds of thousands of people actually use and depend on, right? And then when we got that frame of mind that, hey, it's not working out and there's such a huge opportunity cost, it was a no-brainer. Like, we couldn't justify continuing doing it.
Yeah, and it was a great decision because we knew, when we started investigating this, we were thinking inwards and we were like studying our behavior and our, you know, engagement in the project, and we're like, really, we don't want to be doing this. We want to be doing the other thing. We want to be doing Nozbe. We want to be doubling down on Nozbe. This is what we want, what we feel is right. But yet we are still trying to do this other thing because it sounds good and whatever. So, like, we haven't been actually listening to ourselves even, you know, right there. And that's why I think I already said this in one of the episodes, but I get the question a lot. So, Michael, 9 years of Nozbe, what's next for you? And I'm like, more Nozbe. Like I wanna be one man guy, you know, until the moment comes when it's not the best decision for me. But it hasn't come yet. It's quite the contrary. I see all the opportunities with Nozbe that we have, that we are still unlocking, that I don't see myself not working for Nozbe. So as long as I can, and as long as I want to, and as long as it's the best decision for me, I'm going to be a one-man product. I'm not going to be the sexy multi-business kind of guy, you know, serial entrepreneur, whatever thing. I'm going to be just the Nozbe guy who works on Nozbe because he wants to, I want to make the world a better place, a more organized place. And as long as it helps me, you know, be passionate about it, and as long as it's something awesome for me, and it is, then I'm going to be doing that.
Right. And for me, again, on the lower level, since our last Nozbe reunion, again, we talked about it, but now, like, I see it more and more, is that I've refocused on the bigger, more important projects with what we call iNozbe, which is the code name for the iOS and Mac kind of app project, right? And I've also been doing more kind of conceptual design research work in our R&D department, let's just say. And I cut down on a lot of things I have been doing, but realized I shouldn't be, right? Because, like, here's the thing. I'm a generalist. I'm not a specialist kind of person. I'm more passionate about the broader spectrum of my work rather than having a very, very deep knowledge of a very narrow niche, right? And so it's natural for me that I want to be this person in between different sort of things to kind of mediate and synthesize knowledge from different areas, because I'm a generalist. That's my advantage. But advantages are often also disadvantages, because even though, like, I could be doing more of just seeing what people in kind of doing in all sorts of other kind of places at Nozbe with, I don't know, marketing, whatever, there's a lot of things I've been more active in, but I just realized, okay, even though I could provide value there, and I did it because I felt like I was providing value there, it's a zero-sum game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that I provide some value there, because it's just nothing compared to what I could be doing if I reinvested in the things that I do best that provide the most value. And we're a small company. Like, we have to care about this a lot, because we don't have a huge team so that we can spread this all out, right? And so I still want to take advantage of the fact that I'm a generalist, right? I want to use what's my advantage. And that's why I've been doing some kind of non-programming work lately because I feel like I can contribute there. But it's a big impact kind of work. And all the little things, like I became much more comfortable in ignoring things, in saying no, in refusing to do things. It's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
But I realize I must sometimes ignore things and say no unless someone knocks on my door three times if I don't do something, because there are always things that are more important.
Yeah, and it's really hard to recognize that. I mean, I'm really happy here for you and I'm really proud of you, because it's really hard to say no to really, as we discussed before, to good work, you know, to places where you can mm-hmm. bring good value. It's the problem of CEOs. It's a problem that I'm facing constantly as I'm the guy who started all this and as a one-man shop, that constantly I should be asking myself when I do my weekly review, when I do my goals, when I check my priority list, asking myself, should I be doing that and that and that? Maybe this I can outsource to somebody else. Maybe this I can delegate to somebody else and they will do a better job than me. Although, as we discussed mm-hmm. before, I'm the best man to check my email. You know, I'm the best one, right? So, like, I have to decide, and I have to keep asking myself this. You know, if I want to take this company to a higher level, to a whole new level, what should I be doing? You know, is this something I should be doing, or is that something I should be doing? So, this question should be on our minds with our weekly review every single week, I think, because we should be not just reviewing our tasks and just moving our tasks around and just rescheduling them, which is like the best mm-hmm. thing ever, but we should be really asking questions. Why? And if we are the best people for the job, and if it's the job where I do great work or good work, because it's, you know, there are so many examples when somebody who's just doubling down on one thing that they do best, then they have the success because this is what they were born to do this, and they recognize this and they just push there and they don't like mm-hmm. you know, do several things at once. And as we all, you know, again discussed, we are not Elon Musks, we don't want to be Elon Musks, we are good with that, we are in peace with that,
right. But it takes so much discipline, doesn't it?
Oh yes.
And you know, it gets better with time, and it gets better when you realize just how important it is to say no to things. And so, for example, like one kind of small tip, like I have this project which I kind of manage in Nosby called iNosby for iOS, Mac, watchOS stuff, right? And it was a pretty big project, and there were things that, like, I feel bad getting rid of because, like, yeah, it would be nice to do, but I realized, you know what, I shouldn't be doing this. Not now, for sure. So what I did is I made this other project, which where there's only me and Rafał. It's called I Knows Be Someday. And there's like two or three times more things than in the main project. Like, there were so many tasks for things I could be doing in the I Knows Be project. And now there's like 30, okay? 30 tasks for the things I could be doing with I Knows Be. That's not that much. I can manage that. And there's so much junk in this other project for things that would make the app like 0.1% better. And I would love to do them, but, and you know, maybe someday I will do them. Maybe someday will be time to do them. Maybe there will be opportunity that I'll be able to do them, you know, with some other bigger tasks, and maybe I will do them. So there's a lot of stuff I didn't completely get rid of, but I have this junk drawer so that I don't have to feel bad removing things. But in reality, I kind of do just push it out to this other place where I don't look at, right? And that's kind of one strategy or one tactic for me to help myself just refuse to do things.
I think it's a great strategy, actually, because you're creating a quarantine, you know, like a place, you know, yes, like between the trash and between mm-hmm. your active work. And I think we also, again, should practice that, should practice creating these quarantines for us. Like, that's why David Allen invented Someday Maybe, because we should be able to recognize, okay, I'm not saying it's really, you know, as you said, it's really a bad idea to do it. I would actually love to do it, but you know, given what I want to do now, it doesn't make any sense now. So let's just keep it for later. And maybe at some point you will just totally, you know, trash it, but maybe at some point, as you said, you will get back to it. And this all should be in all aspects of our lives, that we should, you know, we don't have to just, you know, be too strict and just cancel everything out. You know, I'm just going to do this one thing and everything else goes away. I'm just, you know, the Zen guy now, right? No, just put them, you know, put them aside. Review them later, you know, review them, you know, in the future. For example, what I have is I have this NOSB 2X goal, which means that I want to bring NOSB 2X this year. And these are all marketing ideas and product ideas that I think would impact marketing. And they're all there in this project. And I review this project every week, because they're not so that many ideas there. I mean, I put only the big ideas, right? And some of the big ideas are really, really good, really, really cool. But right now, they don't make any sense. And I even if I could, I wouldn't be able to do them. So I review these ideas. I keep, you know, putting them. I'm happy when I do an idea and when I decide, you know, oh, this idea, well, let's do this, you know, this week. This is a good idea to start, you know, working on this week. No problem. But most of them are just there. I review them. So I keep, and the good thing about it is that as I review them, there are some other ideas popping in. So I just maybe add a comment. Maybe I'll work on these ideas a little bit, you know, for, you know, 2 minutes, you know, 2 minute rule. Just add a comment there, you know, create another one, another idea that comes from that because I just read an article about something, you know. So like it. So right. I keep these ideas of marketing ideas for NOSB relevant in my head, and I keep working on them kind of, but. You know, I only decide on the most important things for the week and I leave them there, you know, and it's fine. So this way I didn't, you know, throw them away. They are there. But and I actually kind of work on them by reviewing them and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's definitely a good idea. I do a lot of that myself. I have a bunch of projects like that for my like I have a project called Backburner with ideas for side projects and stuff, which there's no way I'm going to do anytime soon. But like there's an idea, so I feel comfortable if it's in the system, right? Things like that. Well, anyway, like I said, the idea of kind of zero-sum game over your time applies to everything, right? And it applies to this show as well. And so, like, I've been thinking about it. Like, we laughed at how we're kind of driving people away from this show probably by saying you should listen to more audiobooks instead of podcasts,
right?
And, like, I've been thinking about it, about podcasts versus audiobooks. And, again, with this frame of mind, with the power law, the 80-20 rule, the scarcity, the zero-sum game. I listen to a lot fewer podcasts because I realized, okay, podcasts are two things for me. They're learning. I learn from podcasts. And they're entertainment. Podcasts are fun to listen to, right? But again, so say you want to learn something, okay? If you use the frame of mind of a zero-sum game, it almost always, not always, but almost always makes more sense to listen to books to learn something instead of podcasts. That there's more chance, like, it's far more likely you'll get much more out of an audiobook per unit of time than a podcast. This is not always true. There's a few podcasts like The Critical Path, Exponent, which I learn a lot from, about topics that I don't know of books where I would get that sort of value learning from. And, you know, this is also why I think we've been trying to talk a lot more about ideas from books to also make it worthwhile to listen to the podcast, right?
Exactly.
And then the other side of it is podcasts are also fun, entertainment, right? But again, okay, if you want entertainment, there are better forms of entertainment than podcasts. You know, what's better than, you know, listening to 2 hours of podcasts? You know, meeting up with a friend for 2 hours or probably even watching a movie, right? If you want to learn, podcasts are generally not the highest impact activity you could be doing to learn. And if you want entertainment, podcasts, again, are rarely the best thing for it. And that's not always true. There are podcasts that still have a lot of value for me. And
like this one?
Hopefully, right? Or I listen to this show called Hello Internet, which I just love so much, which is just so entertaining in a way other podcasts are not, that I don't want to give it up. But there were others which are also kind of fun, but were not that fun, that I had to say no to, because you know what? If I'm going to listen to something, I prefer to learn, and if I want to, you know, have some fun, relax, have some entertainment, again, there are better ways of doing that than podcasts, right? And so I've also been thinking about this show, right? Like the question is fair game. Should we continue to do this? And for me, at least so far, the answer has been yes, definitely. And but also you can see changes, I think. Sometimes we still talk about whatever, but I've been definitely trying to talk more about meaty, concrete topics, you know, share my knowledge, my perspective, in the hope that even if, you know, even if you, the listener starts to believe that, yeah, they should listen to more audiobooks instead of podcasts, that this will be one of those rare shows that is still worth it, because it's this sounding board for ideas where we bounce off these things we've learned and refine those ideas and learn ourselves too.
Yeah, I just like how we slowly became, without actually admitting it, a productivity podcast, kind of, you know, because we, especially recently, we've been doing, talking about work.
It wasn't supposed to be this way.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be this way in the very beginning, but it's close to our hearts now. So that's why we talk about this. And I also like this idea of exchanging ideas about books, because you know right now you have all the bragging rights of reading so many books this year, and you tweeted about it, you know, nobody really likes you, and so that's the thing, you know, we talk about the books, and I think it's really cool because actually when I think about it, I have been missing this, you know, when I read a book, to actually just right after just talk about it, you know, just discuss.
Right.
And we do it here on this show, which is great. That's why, for example, like the book Third Wave, I don't think it's that, you know, recommendable, but there was a concept I wanted to talk to you about. So
right,
I put it here in the show. And then, you know, and then somebody listening can decide for themselves if they want to just dive deeper and read the book, or just, you know, continue listening to our podcast to hear about other books that we're passionate about. And I just got two new books. I can't start to I mean, I cannot get myself to read, but I'm gonna read them, and I want to read them really much, a lot. So I like how we morphed also as a podcast, and we'll discuss this a little bit more in the future. You know, the thing is that just today in the morning, I took the list of all the podcasts that I've downloaded in Overcast, and I started, you know, going through the list from my playlist, and I removed lots of episodes. I questioned almost every episode if I should really listen to this episode, how long it's, you know, how long it takes, and if I should listen to it. And I have still a few there, quite a few actually. But I removed lots of episodes from the podcast I really love, you know, because I decided, okay, this episode might not be for me. Let's check the other one. And it's a zero-sum game. So again, as I discussed, reviewing, questioning, reviewing, questioning, thinking about, as you said, thinking about the zero-sum game, thinking about that there are trade-offs all the time, and we make trade-offs all the time. And if there's something we say yes to, there is something else that we say no to. This really helps. And if we just, you know, think about it a lot, because, you know, our time really is not limitless.
If we don't say no to things explicitly, we will say no to things implicitly, because we've said yes to too many other things.
Yeah.
I have a small PSA. Speaking of books, I think I mentioned it before, but I have this page on my site. It's radex.io/books. And we did discuss this. I've been putting you know, the books I read there, often with notes and an opinion of it. So I added some more notes, and I added Amazon and Audible links to them for your laziness. And I also, this is a thing where I sign up for Amazon affiliate. So these are affiliate links. So maybe people can fund my own addiction. Because seriously, since April, I've read 7 books, almost 8 now. That's a book a week. That's not normal.
Yeah, you should see somebody there. Yeah. Yeah. No, I really love that. And this, I mean, what you announced there, just now that I also make notes, as you recommended it, now I should really update my site. So hopefully by the time this episode airs, I will have updated my site as well, because, and especially I want to just also put the books I'm going to read there, because I have like a whole download queue right now on Audible. So this will also motivate me, you know, to just go through them and decide to actually start reading them.
Right. I think you wanted to have a basketball corner?
Yeah.
What is that, Michael?
Yeah, basketball corner. So, like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, so basketball. I'm a big fan of basketball. I'm a short guy, but I love playing basketball, and I love watching basketball.
You like playing basketball?
Yeah, I love playing basketball.
We should play sometime.
Yeah. You do play too?
Well, not lately, but I've played in high school and with my nerd friends, and I enjoyed it. So
yeah. We should play. It's great. So yeah, so basketball is a thing, and for me, it's always been a thing. Actually, I have a small basket installed in my home office just to be able to, you know, do something with myself sometimes when I need that. So I wanted just to say that, you know, when we are recording this, we don't know how it's going to turn out, but there are right now four teams back. I mean, 4 teams in NBA that are playing for the finals to win the championship this year. And one of these teams is the Golden State Warriors. So a team also dear to me, because I was on one of their games years ago when I was in San Francisco, and they are really good. I mean, they won 73 games this regular season, which is amazing, which is the best record ever. Like, they're better than Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls with that. Mm. And it's great. And this Stephen Curry won the MVP award. So fantastic. And you know, they got lots of accolades, lots of awards. Fantastic. But the goal of each team is to win the NBA Finals. So it means to really become a champion. And right now, to my concern, they're actually losing in the Western Conference Finals to Oklahoma City Thunder. They're actually losing 3-2 in the games, and the game is the idea is to win 4 games. So as you can see, the Oklahoma City Thunder can only win 1 game, and they're moved to finals, and the Warriors have to win 2 more games to actually beat them. And why I'm saying this is that When you have a good streak, when you are really successful, and they've been successful, they've been amazing. I mean, 73 games in a regular season is fantastic. It's unbeatable. Like, it's really. And when you are Stephen Curry, who shot, I think, 400, you know, 3-point shoots, you know, 3-point baskets in the whole season, which is like, you know, like 100 something more than his previous record, you have a danger of actually becoming complacent and thinking that you can do anything and you are unbeatable. Mm-hmm. And when I've been watching the latest games of Golden State Warriors, like Oklahoma City Thunder, like really Thunder, you know, blocked them. And what happened was that I remember, you know, the their games from in the regular seasons, in the season, they used to play like a great team. And now they are, you know, not playing as a great team. They are they are making stupid mistakes. They are, I mean, Stephen Curry still thinks that he can shoot from anywhere and it's going to always go in, you know? And he's been having like the whole regular season he's been having more than 50%, you know, from 3-point range, which is like amazing. But now in the playoffs, you know, 40%, 35%. So it's not really great, you know? It means that he's been taking too many shots, which were mm-hmm. unnecessary, and lots of misses. You know, and it's nothing against him. I love this guy. You know, I mean, he's my hero now, but it's a reminder that, you know, for us and for everyone, that, you know, becoming complacent is the worst thing ever. You know, you should always try to reinvent yourself. You should always, you know, build up your strengths, even if you're the best of the best of the best. You know, you still have to have your best at each time. You know, and they haven't been doing that. And now they are really in danger of not making the finals, of killing it in the regular season and then not making the finals, you know, and where they should be crushing everyone right now, you know, and they're not. So that's why I wanted to talk about it, because it's a big, you know, it's been a big also humbling lesson for me, because, you know, I was sure they're going to just nail it, you know, in the playoffs, and they're just going to have really nice finals and just going to win it like nothing happened. And they're not. They lost one game in the first round of playoffs. They lost a game in the second round of playoffs. And then here they lost already three games to Oklahoma City in this Western Conference finals. So really, always bring your best, and, you know, becoming complacent, you know, even if you're the best, you know, it's not good enough.
So it's not really about basketball. It's about hubris, arrogance, thinking you're the best and nothing can change it. And that's actually like also a thing that, like, one of those things that are obvious, but everyone has to be reminded of, especially everyone who is winning, because it's a story that always repeats itself in history of anything, any country, any nation, any company in any industry. You see it all the time. People, companies, nations rising to greatness and then getting complacent and forgetting that how they got there, or thinking that the way they got there is the way it will always work, and that they have to do nothing more. They don't have to reinvent themselves. They don't have to keep their skill in check. That's it. That they will always stay winners, and that's not always true. And the moment you become blind to that, is the moment you start to lose.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why, you know, like, this is the lesson. You know, and it has everything to do with what we just said today in this episode. If you don't choose, you know, where you spend your time, if you don't choose it wisely, if you are, you know, arrogant, that you think, you know, I can do anything, I can do everything, there are no trade-offs, then you will lose.